Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, August 26, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The question of who will be Sitka's next municipal administrator could be answered tonight. The Sitka Assembly is scheduled to hold a special meeting at 6 o'clock inside Harrigan Centennial Hall to make its choice. Members will select from four finalists after having interviewed them at the end of last week. KCAW's Ed Ronco attended the interviews and has more.
The list began at 53 people. Then it was 10 with video conference interviews earlier this month. And from there, the assembly picked four finalists. Each of those four sat on Thursday or Friday for separate hour-long interviews in open session. They each received similar questions, many drawn from a numbered list in front of each assembly member. Topics ranged from management style to feelings about the city's comprehensive plan to how they would expect to relate to the assembly itself. We don't have enough time in this story to share everything that was said. So for the purposes of this newscast right now, we're going to focus on one question.
So this is a variation on number 25.
Assembly member Tor Christensen.
So you have a community member come in with a complaint, and you can't help them, or you can't give them what they want for various reasons. How do you deal with that?
First up, Pam Caskey, formerly city manager in Alliance, Nebraska. She left that post in 2010 after 5 years. Since then, she's run a consulting business in Loveland, Colorado.
If you're looking to put somebody in this position that says yes to everybody to keep everybody happy, and there are cities that want that, I'm probably not the person you want to hire, because I don't necessarily think that's my role. I think my role is to be the stopper. I mean, the department head says yes, but if their answer is no, then the appeal to me, and my job might be to say yes occasionally, overruling a department head, but by the time the department head has said no, there's usually a very good reason for it, and my job is probably going to be to back up the department head unless I see something that nobody else sees.
Caskey says she'll listen and, at the very least, help citizens navigate the system of government.
The idea is to do that and still have them walk out and be a friend. And that's a challenge, and sometimes it's more of a challenge depending on the amount of emotion attached to it than others. I try very, very hard to say no, explain the reasons for the no, and have them walk out still thinking I heard them and still thinking that I cared about their personal situation.
The next candidate to interview was Mark Gorman. The former search vice president has called Sitka home since 1978, and he has a long resume of foreign relief work. Presently, he's country director for World Education's operation in Laos in Southeast Asia. Here's his answer to the question, which now, remember, is how do you deal with it when you can't give a member of the public what they want?
I would like to believe compassionately.
Gorman says he's encountered the situation a lot in his career.
The best that you can hope for in those situations is that the person may leave disappointed, but if they leave feeling that they've been heard and respected, then you're ahead.
He told the assembly about being adopted into the Eagle Wolf Clan in Klukwan and words of advice he received from an elder.
Always speak the truth, and you never need to remember what you told people. And that wisdom, I often come back to it, is when you're faced with a difficult situation, is look the person in the eye and tell them the truth. And they may not like it, but they tend to walk away feeling respected.
Sina Gubatayo, the current deputy borough manager in Ketchikan, says she's also had a lot of experience being unable to give a resident something they're asking for. Gubatayo says, though, that everyone who comes into her office gets a fair hearing.
Oftentimes I find that, you know, their problem, their complaint or their issue isn't resolved because their case has been handled properly. We can't waive fees unless that authority is specifically given to us. We can't waive deadlines unless the authority is specifically given to us. And so, you know, there are these immutable things that just can't be changed. And when people run up against them, it does make them upset.
She says she takes the issue back to the department heads and gets multiple sides of the story. And she says sometimes people leave happier, even if they didn't get what they were hoping for from the city.
And sometimes it's good that they're happy that you've listened, they've had a chance to have to say. Sometimes they're not, but everyone deserves their opportunity to speak and to be heard.
Jim Pascal was the final interview before the assembly last week. He was administrator of Princeton Township, New Jersey, for about 30 years. Pascal was never directly asked how he would deal with being unable to satisfy the request of a member of the public, but he did address the topic when Mayor Mitch McConnell asked him about his management style.
The general public is always right. The customer is always right.
He said it's his job to resolve issues, especially between the public and city department heads.
Usually I find, Mayor, when they come to me, and they've calmed down a little bit. And they're actually a lot more respectful. And we talk, and if the department head couldn't do something, when they hear it again from the administrator, they usually accept that. But they've had their day in court, or conversely, if the department head didn't handle it right, I'll make sure it gets handled right.
Four finalists with four answers on how they would relate to the public, especially in uncomfortable situations. Assembly members concluded their interviews on Friday night and had the weekend to deliberate individually. They're expected to deliberate as a body tonight and come out of the meeting with an offer for one of the candidates. Assembly members hope to have the new administrator on the job by the beginning of October. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Every summer, a million tourists pass through Southeast Alaska. It's a boon to local retailers who rely on the extra customers to make up for slower winter months. But with lots of money being spent, business can get dirty. This spring, the state responded to complaints that onboard shopping experts were misleading passengers and smearing local stores by hitting these programs with a new set of rules. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez wanted to find out if the new regulations are actually working.
Just about every other store in Juneau's shopping district sells jewelry. They advertise diamonds and tanzanite, steep discounts, and free charms. But a sign on one storefront stands out. Don't see us on your cruise ship map? We'd rather not give your cruise ship a kickback.
We put up that sign is because a lot of people were unaware of the gimmicks that was going on the cruise lines.
Jay runs a store, and he won't let me use his real name out of fear of getting blackballed. He used to pay $25,000 plus 10% of sales to be part of the onboard shopping programs. Shopping experts, known as port lecturers in industry speak, were then supposed to refer passengers to his store. But even though Jay was paying up, he still saw customers steered to chains with stronger ties to the cruise industry, and business stayed flat. So he quit. Then Jay started hearing this from passengers.
We were told to only go to certain stores because the other stores are people who sometimes don't sell the real stuff, and we are not responsible for it and stuff like that. So that's like a scare factor.
These kinds of complaints got so bad that the state of Alaska started investigating the companies who hire the port lecturers and give the cruise lines a cut of their earnings to have them on board. Ed Sniffen handles consumer protection for the state, and he says it wasn't just local businesses who were upset. Passengers were also saying they'd been ripped off.
Hey, I bought this diamond at this shop, and they told me it was a 2-carat, you know, something, and I paid $20,000 for it. When I got it back home and had it appraised, it was really only worth $5,000, you know, some of those kinds of things.
Port lecturers operate on cruises across the world, but Alaska is the first place to crack down on their employers. In February, the state agreed to a $200,000 settlement with Onboard Media, Royal Media Partners, and the PPI Group, the three Florida-based companies that put port lecturers on Alaska cruise voyages. The companies didn't have to admit any wrongdoing, but they did have to start requiring port lecturers to disclose that they didn't work for the cruise lines and that what they were doing was a type of advertising. They were also prohibited from talking bad about stores that didn't participate in their programs and from making misleading statements about sale prices and return policies. So, are these regulations doing anything? Right now, the Attorney General's office is reviewing about 70 recordings of port lecturers in action, and it looks like filming them is helping. Sniffen says that while things aren't suddenly perfect, most of the feedback from the ground has been good.
What we're hearing is generally that things are better. That things have gotten, you know, a little cleaner. Passengers aren't, saying the things that they used to say.
Before Cindy Dollar gets off her cruise ship, she's given a shopping map, a bunch of coupons, and a tote bag for her haul. She's vacationing from Texas, and she says there's serious pressure to spend.
Yeah, it's a constant kind of, I mean, if you let yourself, you can be barraged with the whole shopping experience on the ship.
From what she's seen, it looks like the port lecturers are following the state's new rules. They're putting disclaimers on promotional materials and reading from scripts that describe their presentations as marketing. They're still pushy, but at least you know where they're coming from. And so far, their pitch doesn't seem to be working on her. Dollar doesn't plan on buying from the stores that are being hyped up, and she definitely isn't thinking about making any huge purchases.
I plan to bring back a few souvenirs for family and my pet sitter.
She thinks a local gift shop will do just the trick. In Juneau, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.
Responders and frustrated residents are racing against a tight deadline to help rebuild a badly flooded town in Alaska's interior before the region's unforgiving winter arrives. The town of Galena is working on a backup plan for alternate local housing in case some of the homes remaining inhabitable by winter as expected. City Manager Greg Moyers says about 80 people from the community of about 500 have not been able to return to their homes yet. Officials with the Federal Emergency Management Agency stepped in to help after spring flooding in parts of Alaska were declared a federal disaster. FEMA says responders are doing the best they can in Galena, given the logistical challenges of working in a community that is far from the state's limited road system. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Now here's a look at Sitka's own weather. It's currently 63 degrees downtown Sitka under overcast skies. Today, expect highs around 64, east wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, it's going to be cloudy with a chance of rain, lows 54 to 59. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.